Hello, thanks for joining us. I'm Esme Tsung, she, her. I'm the Communications Director at the ACLU of Kansas. Here at the ACLU of Kansas, we are dedicated to the work to support and defend a democracy that ensures eligible Kansas voters truly have a voice. As part of that work this election season, we are leading two major initiatives to help combine the power of our legal team, our field organizing and community, and public education efforts. To help us understand those two initiatives, I'm joined by three of my brilliant ACLU of Kansas teammates, and I'll have them introduce themselves.
Hi, I'm Leslie Bush. I use she, hers pronouns, and I'm the field director here at the ACLU of Kansas.
I'm Evan Altman. I use he, him pronouns, and I'm a field organizer.
Kwan Yu Ching, she, her, and I'm a staff attorney.
So to start us off, the first of these two initiatives we're calling Restore My Vote. So this is an education campaign aimed to target misunderstandings and correct felony disenfranchisement in Kansas. Leslie, could you help us understand what felony disenfranchisement is and why listeners should be concerned about the consequences for democracy in our state?
Yeah, so felony disenfranchisement is the act of taking away someone's right to vote when they're convicted with a felony. And I say taking away the right to vote specifically because I think when we frame felony disenfranchisement, we often say that folks lost their voting rights, but that's a really passive way to frame the situation, which is that folks have been systematically disenfranchised on purpose. And the roots of that go back to Reconstruction in this country, post-Civil War, post-slavery, when specifically Black men were gaining political power and the powers that be had an interest in suppressing that political power, so they really used the tool of felony disenfranchisement to silence voters. And so this is important here in Kansas because in Kansas, if you are convicted of a felony, you have your right to vote taken away and you have to re-register to vote. But we found that a lot of people are not informed of that right, which is another way to suppress folks' votes.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful historical context. And so Evan, could you sort of explain what the misunderstandings are and where they come from and sort of how they manifest in today's voter experience?
Yeah, so felony disenfranchisement laws differ from state to state. Some states require clemency from the governor. Other states, it depends on what type of felony the person is convicted of or how many felonies they've been convicted of. Here in Kansas, the law is once someone is convicted of a felony, they lose their right to vote. However, once they complete their term of service, so imprisonment, probation, parole, they are eligible to re-register to vote. And also in Kansas, it doesn't matter what type of felony someone is convicted of or if they're required to appear on a registry, the law is the same for everyone. However, in Kansas, unfortunately, probation can be extended due to a person's failure to pay their fines, prolonging punishment against those who have served their time and prolongs their voice from not being heard. Another big reason for the confusion is the lack of info from KDOC, probation, and parole offices. I talk to at least one person a day that has been impacted. They have served their time, but they had no clue that they are eligible to re-register to vote just because no one's giving them that information, or worse, people are giving them the wrong information. I've spoken to individuals who said that their corrections officer said that they're never able to re-register to vote. So I think the ACLU is focused on setting the record straight and getting the correct information out there.
Yeah, that's such a good point about, I think, too, when you think about sort of national media conversations, which is really what a lot of us pay attention to. Florida got a lot of attention for its felony disenfranchisement scheme, which is permanent, right? It's sort of taken away permanently. And I think that's sort of where a lot of the misunderstanding in the modern context and the conversations happening right now, creating confusion too. So with that backdrop, Leslie, that brings us sort of to the efforts of Restore My Vote writ large. So tell us a little bit more about how this initiative started and then what are sort of the end goals and what's the vision of the project?
Yeah, so the vision was really to do what Evan just named, fill the gap, because there's a gap in our state where folks are getting no information or worse, misinformation about their rights. And so our goal is really to fill that gap and get information out there. So we worked with Free Our Vote, who collected information about folks who are in this space where they may have the right to vote, but they may not be informed. And so our goal is to inform as many of those people as possible and let them know they can re-register through making phone calls to these folks, texting people, mailing people information, knocking on their door, really whatever we can do to inform people of their rights.
Yeah, that's great. And then right now, as Leslie said, the biggest push is just directly contacting these affected voters who have passed felonies and really encouraging them to get registered. So, Evan, you've been in charge of a lot of these efforts, all of these efforts, and I know there have been some challenges, and we're really interested in how people can get involved. So why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've been recruiting volunteers to participate in these phone banks by directly reaching out to Kansans with felony convictions and letting them know of their rights. And I think some of the challenges have been the lack of motivation for this population. You know, when someone is convicted of a felony, our criminal justice system does a good job of othering that person, of casting that person out of their community. It's extremely difficult for them to find employment that pays enough for them to take care of their families and to often pay their high probation fees, court fines and such. And it's also extremely difficult for them to find quality housing in safe neighborhoods. And I think over time, as our laws and systems other those people, they give up. They feel like their voice doesn't matter, that, you know, they're not worthy to have a say in who represents them or what policies take effect. So I think that's been probably the biggest challenges. This is a very vulnerable population, but the ACLU is going to continue to reach out to this population. This is a long-term project. Because right now there are tens of thousands of Kansans that are eligible to vote, and the vast majority don't know. And we're going to do everything we can through phone banking, text banking, postcard writing. A lot of it's going to be voter education at community events, just to set the record straight and over time, hopefully get these folks re-registered.
Yeah, that's such a good point about, you know, the discouragement that people understandably feel when they've been system impacted. And it makes sense that, you know, once you've had interactions with the criminal legal system, it's you're not motivated necessarily to have more contact with any kind of system, right? But I think that's such important work, and, you know, I'm really proud to be part of a team that's doing this work.
Can I add something?
Yeah, of course.
Within our current system, we have a democracy, which means that everyone needs to participate. And I think for those of us who may not be personally impacted or may not know anyone who is, that's part of being in a democracy, is to make sure that everyone gets to have a voice. And I think that's why what Evan is doing and reaching out to people is so important, and why it affects all of us, because all of us, no matter if we've been involved in the system or not, should have a vested interest in making sure our democracy represents every eligible voter that we have. So
yeah, and we know that democracy is sort of where we decide policies and who's representing those, making decisions and representing us. And it's really the space where we are not just deciding policy, but like our values, right? And I value an inclusive democracy, and one where all of us, regardless of past mistakes, get to have a say. And, you know, like you're saying, the work Evan's doing to bring everyone to the table is crucial. So the other program we're discussing today is our election protection hotline, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. So for several years of election cycles now, the ACLU of Kansas has run the legal and the field arm of the statewide nonpartisan election protection program. So this consists of responding to issues called in to the 866-OUR-VOTE hotline directly from voters and volunteers in the field. If voters have any issues with registering to vote, voting early, or voting by mail or on election day, they should notify the hotline so we can investigate. So we'll also have nonpartisan poll watchers on hand throughout the state to observe and document issues at the polls. So Kuan Yu, I'd love if you could give us an overview of what the ACLU of Kansas legal work in that program will look like this upcoming election.
Yeah, so the legal department works together with some key partners on election protection in Kansas, including the Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights and our local pro bono law firm partner, Stinson. And together we operate the Kansas branch or division, I guess you could say, of the election protection phone hotline, 1-866-OUR-VOTE. And like you said, any voter who's having trouble with any voting related issue can call the hotline. And the hotline is manned by volunteer attorneys who are trained to help them with whatever issue that might come up in real time. And it could be something as simple as somebody's at the wrong polling location because they moved recently and they were using their old information. Or it could be something as serious as a voter being intimidated at the polling location and being prevented from voting by some third party or some election official who has a misunderstanding of what the law is. And the hotline attorneys are trained and typically fully capable of resolving the vast majority of the issues that get called in. But if there is something that they can't resolve or some particularly unusual or noteworthy issue, the ticket will be bumped up to the escalation team. The escalation team consists of ACLU of Kansas attorneys who will be on call to address any particularly thorny issues that might require some additional legal research. We might need to contact local county election officials and try to resolve the problem so that person can go ahead and vote on election day. And we also generally keep an eye out for any widespread issues that might require follow-up through policy or hopefully not, knock on wood, litigation. And in 2022, we had about 146 volunteers in 20 counties at 185 different polling locations, and that totaled over 550 hours of voter assistance to 145 voters. And we're hoping that this year we can replicate or exceed that assistance.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think I would love to have some more context about for listeners about the more serious issues and the escalation process. So, for example, I remember in August 2022, there were reports that voters at the rec center in Mays, Kansas, which is just northwest of Wichita, had been turned away prior to the poll closing and were told by an election worker to vote at a different location. And so our election protection team, the ACLU of Kansas legal team, immediately contacted the Sedgwick County Election Office, and then that office later released a statement admitting that this was a mistake, that the election workers at that site did not have the authority to make that decision, and they encouraged affected voters to go vote provisionally at another location. So, Kwanyu, I think this example really illustrates the escalation process and how we can be proud of our work, both on the legal side, on the field side, and on the comms side, of being able to escalate an issue, and a really serious issue when it comes to voters being able to vote, without necessarily resorting to a lawsuit. So I wonder if you're able to tell us a little more about, you know, this escalation process and how we're going to work to rectify situations like this.
Yeah, like I mentioned, so the escalation happens when there isn't just something that a hotline attorney can resolve by providing, you know, additional information, or it's just something that can be easily fixed. Like it's the wrong ID, well, you need to go home and get the correct ID, and then you can go back and vote. The escalation issues would be something like voter intimidation, like I mentioned, or another example of an issue that would be escalated would be electioneering. So let's say there's somebody standing outside the poll site, or there are signs located within 250 feet of the polling location that's advocating for a particular candidate or a particular issue that is against Kansas law. And that would be an example of something that we would reach out to the county election official and say, hey, can you have whoever's working at the poll site, you know, go talk to that person. And that specific example that you mentioned in Mays in Sedgwick County, I think that's a perfect example of the election protection hotline working exactly as intended. The volunteers informed us quickly. We were able to get the ACLU of Kansas comms team on it immediately and get the word out to the public through, you know, social media and other ways, so people were aware of the issue at that particular location, and then try to contact Sedgwick County officials to try to fix that problem right away. And hopefully that was a learning experience. Yes. For Sedgwick County. Optimistically, I'm hoping that they were able to, you know, adjust their training for their poll workers to make sure that sort of situation doesn't happen again. And that's an example of collaborative, productive efforts with local county officials so that none of us ever have to even go near litigation or a courtroom.
Yeah, I love that. It's also such a good example of the integrated advocacy we talk about at the ACLU of Kansas, right? The legal, the field, the comms strategies. So that really covers sort of the legal side of election protection. Leslie, I would love to hear a little bit more, as I know you're working really hard to plan for the volunteers. So tell listeners a little bit what the role of volunteers in election protection are and what folks can expect if they sign up.
Yeah, absolutely. So being an election protection poll monitor is a great opportunity to learn more about how our elections are run. So we do a pretty intensive, it's just an hour training, but it's a pretty intensive training for poll monitor volunteers where we go through the common issues that may come up. So it's a really good way to become an expert about voting rights in Kansas and be the expert to your friends and your community about what types of ID they need, if they have any accessibility needs, what that would look like when they go to vote. So you get a 1 hour training and then we send you out in the field on August 6th or on the general election. You basically observe the polls. So you watch what's happening, look for any issues that may arise, and you're also there to assist voters. So it's kind of three parts. One, you become an expert in voting rights. Two, you observe what's happening and report any incidents. And three, you're there in an election protection hat and a button and a shirt with a yard sign. So you're a little election protection billboard so that people know you were there to help them if any sort of issue comes up. So we've seen this happen. You know, folks are given a provisional ballot maybe at their polling location and they leave their polling location with the paperwork. Maybe they're not sure what they need to do next. And I, you know, want to name that most of our elections run really smoothly here and our poll workers do a great job and the folks who work in our elections work hard to make them run smoothly, but we're just sort of that second line of defense. So if a voter leaves the polling location and they're still confused about what they need to do next, then an election protection volunteer can assist them, review the paperwork with them. Maybe they need to come back with a different form of ID, something like that. And so we train the poll monitors to be experts in this, but they also are there to help boost the hotline. So while you will become a voting rights expert, if there's something that comes up that you don't know the answer to, you as a poll monitor volunteer can help a voter call the hotline or call the hotline yourself to resolve something. So it's a way to have eyes across the state. So we were in 20 counties in 2022, hoping to get to, you know, 30 or 40 counties this year, just to really get a picture of how elections run in Kansas to, you know, collect information and just see what's happening, but also use for further advocacy that we will, I would say organizing is forever. So we learn about the issues that are happening on election day through the eyes of volunteer poll monitors, and then we can use that information to determine what further advocacy we need to do in the future.
Yeah, and I just love how that fits into what Kuan Yu was talking about too, where it's sort of preparing all of us, the election office, the ACLU of Kansas team, the volunteers, voters, to all be more active and bought into just this entire election administration process and what it means to have a democracy, right? And we're sort of all working together to create an accessible and inclusive democracy. And that comes down to just making sure an individual voter knows what they need to do to make their vote count, or making sure that a poll worker is properly trained about whether or not, usually not, to turn voters away from the poll, right? I'm so proud of the election protection program. I think it's absolutely invaluable. And I think more than ever, we want to make sure that everyone who wishes to vote and is eligible to vote is able to do so and does so with the support of all of us who are part of this community. So thank you all so much for joining me. I'm sure listeners found this really helpful about ways to get involved this election season beyond just getting to the poll and getting their vote cast.